Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tahunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zephirath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn, come with the rain and cleanse, come with the wind and breathe, come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. By way of background of the text, in the previous passage, which ended with 14, Jesus has come back filled with the Spirit to his home region and goes to the temple of his upbringing, reads from Isaiah 61 that I've come to, God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He rolls up the scroll, hands it to the caretaker, and says, "This day those words are fulfilled." Now, in this passage, he starts with those words, and again, the people aren't offended. This is his home, and they say, "Well, isn't this Joe's boy? That's pretty good," and they like it. And then he says, "Well, you aren't all that." And he does so specifically by referring to Elijah, Elisha, and the history, the common spiritual history they all share. They are enraged and drive him from the temple and drive him to the what they call the brow of the hill. One translation says he slipped away. I like the New Oxford Annotated. He didn't slip away. He parted them like they were the Dead Sea. And that's what he did. When Jesus talks about the dead burying the dead, he's not talking about people who have stopped breathing. He's talking about people who are not living spiritually. It troubles us at a variety of levels because we want to identify with him as the hero, and the reality is I'm the leader of the crowd that drove him out of the temple. What Jesus says often bothers me. It's not accidental that I've never preached this in more than 30 years of ministry. I was shocked myself. And then I looked at the text and I had a wonderful experience. I play with titles because I want to think maybe somebody's paying attention. Well, Holly of the Daily News, who handles this for us, Philip sends it in. She called on Friday. I happened to pick up the phone, and she said, I have a question about the sermon title. Well, it's Friday, and I'm involved in a variety of things. Or it must have been Thursday, because I wasn't in the office at that time on Friday. Anyways, I said, I have to put you on hold and look it up. Because I wrote the title 6 weeks ago, and I'm working on the text of the sermon, not the title. And when I got back on the phone, it was evident that she didn't like the title. She says, tell me about that title. And I said, well, I'm just playing with French. And she said, is it a French title? I said, I don't speak French. Anybody who knows me. I said, now, the text, Luke's text, does say they were enraged. And the term enragir is an old French term directly out of the dictionary. She still wasn't happy. She said, well, I don't know what my editors are going to do. Do I have permission to change this to real French? So what's in your bulletin is not real French. It has, I don't know whether it's an apostrophe or an umlaut, but it's correctly printed in the Daily News. Now, it didn't enrage me, but obviously it irritated me. But I guess I should be grateful that she was interested in enough to give the office a call. The reality is, there are things that irritate us in life, things that amuse us. So I want to share at least one of each. There's a wonderful story on the website, Pastor and the numeral 2youth.com. And it involves the public library, which has a system called Dial-A-Tale. And if I'm understanding this, a number of metropolitan cities have this, where anytime a young child wants to hear a fairy tale, he or she can call a number and a voice comes on reading a short fairy tale to the listening young ear. However, the number is only one digit off from Reverend Tom Erickson's phone. And he found himself getting a number of these calls in his fair city and initially was a little put out with it. And he tried to explain, no, you're one digit off, you have to call. And realizing the disappointment of the young awaiting ears, he found a notable solution. And his solution was to buy a copy of Three Little Pigs and put it by his phone. It seemed to solve the issue for him and for the little ones. That has one way of listening, one way of responding. Here's another. In a speech delivered May 17th, 2004, at the NAACP Gala commemorating the 50th anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education, Dr. Bill Cosby, William H. Cosby, if you're paying attention, ignited a national debate with much of what he said, and it included this. And if you don't know it, Bill Cosby is a very funny man, but he's very learned. That doctor is earned from Temple University. And here's part of what he said. I actually read this and was one of those initially a little outraged, but the more I look back at it, I think it was a brilliant take. The church is only open on Sunday, he said. You can't keep asking Jesus to do things for you. You can't keep asking God to find a way. God is tired of you. God was there when they won all those court cases. That's where God was, because these people were doing something. When you go to church, look at the stained glass things of Jesus. Look at them. Is Jesus smiling, not in a picture? So tell your friends. Let's do something. Let's try to make Jesus smile. Let's start parenting. he received a deluge of criticism because he talked about how to be responsible, and people pointed out his flaws in his life. But he felt he had earned the right to be a little enraged, especially at African Americans, but at all manner of people who were acting irresponsibly as citizens and parents. What do we do when somebody says something that bothers us, and especially if it's a friend, if they're being honest, and if they love us? Well, the truth is, most of us can't be bothered. Or at least we don't want to be bothered. We don't want to be bothered by the intrusion of somebody critiquing our life. We don't want to be bothered by the need to think. We don't want to be bothered by the need, especially, to act. Jesus bothered people because he did not act the way people wanted him to. He followed his heart as he followed God. He did not respond favorably to society. He challenged people in the name of faith. We're called to do no less. We are no less called today than the prophets of old. We are called, each and every one of us. Some of the time it feels terrible because we feel burdened or we feel inadequate or we feel as if we don't have the talent. It's not about talent. It's about faithfulness. Doing what we know we're called in our hearts to do, and not perfectly, but with a heart of faith. I saw a documentary, or most of a documentary, on Paul Williams. How many of you know who Paul Williams is, the singer, songwriter, actor? A number of you. All right. He's done a bunch of things. He's won Grammys. He's won an Oscar, which I learned was for writing a piece of music with Barbara Streisand. I didn't know they wrote that tune together. That's pretty amazing. Anyways, he's had this amazing life, which ran off the rails and into about 9 miles of dirt, fueled by his drug addictions, which were legion, and he admits them. This documentary was done at the hand of a man named Stephen Kessler. Stephen nagged Paul for about 3 years and then was allowed to follow him around in various adventures. And the difficulty Paul had was Stephen kept asking him, and this is a pretty close quote, "You were famous and rich, but very unhappy. Now you're not famous and have less, but you're happy. Would you comment?" And Paul says, "You want a comment, but who I was then is not who I am now. They're not the same person." Later, Kessler says, he starts to understand. He said, I want to look back to understand, and Paul doesn't. He only wants to look ahead. And finally, later, as the movie ends, Paul speaks to that question. "You look at old footage and see me failing. I see someone I no longer am. I don't know that person. My life is good. And these last few years have been especially rich. I don't have less. I have more with regard to my life, my understanding of who I am and what I'm called to do, and my family." And he said, this messes up the end of your movie. And I really like that. You see, so much of us stand back and we look at people and say, "Oh, well, they're caught on the precipice of a cliff." And we might be cheering for them to either be pushed off or for them to jump. And Jesus invited people not to jump off, put to rest in the arms of a loving God, to be strengthened by community, to accept a claim and call that would drive them to their feet and proclaim a grace untold. We understand this, but it's so much harder to act on, because we look at what it means to be called, to give up our understanding of what we're called to do, to rest in the arms of God, to be uneasy. We like to see people mess up. At 8:15, I had an experience of this. Right after finishing the message, I called for the closing hymn. Well, we had communion. So I had to say, no, we can't do that. And there was a nervous twitter, because everybody likes to see the minister mess up now, don't we? Yes, we like that. And it's not mean-spirited, but I will tell you, earlier in my life, that stuff would light me up like cheap fireworks. I would just get so upset. And I would get the most upset I would get is when I would become emotional. And then I hit 40 and started crying at dog food commercials. So I've had to learn how to manage my emotions and how to manage my own insecurity at my frail humanity. And I laughed about that and then went on, and we had communion and a closing hymn. Beloved, I tell you, if we say we want to follow Jesus, it's okay to be human. It's okay to admit our frailty. It's okay to admit our faults. God loves us where we are, says Max Lucado. But God does not expect us to stay where we are. We are called forward. And whether we're irritated by Bill Cosby or this lame preacher before you or whatever it is, that's part of our task. One of my favorite seminary professors was Dr. Sands, Rabbi Sands. And in talking about this whole business of faith, he talked about two things incessantly. Ethical monotheism calls you to act honorably in the name of faith. And the work of clerics and the work of brothers and sisters in congregations is to afflict those in comfort and to comfort those in affliction. May it ever be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.